wants to warm up. Let's warm up.
Welcome to Liberty Southwest podcast number 48. This week we're going to discuss nootropics or smart drugs. Joining me tonight is Kirk Pettis and myself, Eric Taylor. It's just the two of us tonight. It's a nice spring evening. So it means it's just you and I, Kirk.
We're the only ones not working on our tan, Minnesota tan.
Right. Right. Yeah, and we were looking, we're trying to decide how to pronounce this damn thing. There's like a bazillion ways.
I still want to go nootropics.
Nootropics? Yeah. So this is something you brought up a while ago, right? Like a month and a half ago. Something cool that would be to, something cool to go over. Smart drugs, and it's kind of been, I've seen it, you know, floating around in the news. Seems like more over the last couple of years. There is that movie Limitless, and you hear about specifically like tech, you know, tech guys, you know, messing around with various drug cocktails to get smarter, that type of thing.
Yeah. I first learned about it from Joe Rogan.
Oh, really?
Listening to one of his podcasts, and then learning about, I think it was Pro Vigil.
Yeah.
At the time. And so this was like a year ago or something. And as doing some research for this, it seems like it's even progressed a lot further from it has even a year ago, or I didn't research it a year ago, but yeah. I knew he was always talking about ProVigil, and then there's NewVigil or something like that out there. The second one is supposed to be even better or something, but just goes into the whole pharmaceutical drug scene. And but there also is a lot of natural, seems to be a lot of natural herbal supplements that are paired together to create the same effects as smart drugs. But it's, I think it's why I brought it up in the first place was just to, you know, I never really knew about it, and I thought it'd be fun to get ahead of an issue because I think this will become more of a prevalent issue in the future. Mm-hmm. So kind of know what the heck we're talking about then, at least.
Yeah. There's kind of, you know, there. Some people go, I mean, they talk about smart drugs and they, you know, go with high doses of vitamin B and, you know, various herbs and that type of thing. But I think, you know, the stuff we've been hearing about lately is kind of, it's more synthetic based, right?
It's hard for me to tell that, because a lot of these new supplements kind of are, they're patented extraction process of natural plants and organic materials. So, they're not regulated by the FDA. And so you can get them without a prescription. But then there are a lot of these new pharmaceutical prescription drugs out there that seem to be growing. But, sorry, Eric, there's a little feedback going on. Everything cool?
Yeah, it sounded like we had a little audio routing issue. Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. It still happens.
Yeah.
It's just really delayed, but that's all right.
Oh, it is delayed? Let me try it again here. 5 seconds.
All right.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
How's it sound?
Just 3 came back.
Seriously? No. So anyway.
Where was I? But I think, well, Joe Rogan's, I think, investor co-owner of that Alpha Brain. They really push that on his podcast, and I've heard that in other podcasts that pairs in those are all the natural remedies. But then, what Joe Rogan always brought up was that these drugs like ProVigil and NewVigil, I guess now, and what was the other, Modafinil. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of create them to be smart drugs, but for how the FDA is set up, they have to be be able to combat some disease or human condition. Mm-hmm. And so that's why most of these drugs end up falling under narcolepsy or help you or some brain cognitive disease or something. So they end up it's kind of the weakness of how they can't just make a drug that's supposed to make you smarter, a pharmaceutical drug, because it's not what category does it fall into or what does it do? So it falls in that gray area. So they end up making up something that will some weird remedy that really it's for kind of a smart drug, but they claim it's for all this other stuff. But that's just what I've been hearing out there. But like on some of the clips that we will play, it's like doctors will say, well, you shouldn't take it unless you have sleep apnea or narcolepsy or something or the other.
Yeah, because a lot of them, that's what they're initially designed for, right? They're to like Adderall or, various drugs. They're designed to cure some type of medical issue, not necessarily make you smarter. That's kind of something that's been found afterwards, right? Rather than.
Well, that's what they claim, and that's what I've always questioned. Because Adderall, Ritalin, Dexedrine, those are all kind of amphetamines. And so it goes into, did they try and create a synthetic amphetamine first and then just do the same thing? Like, all right, then we'll come up with this ADHD as the remedy of such. But it's a question for another day, possibly.
Yeah, so you're kind of suggesting it may be just a way for skeptics to say, you know, this is not something that you should take.
Yeah, because I firmly believe if I was in a laboratory trying to invent drugs or, you know, you kind of copy nature a lot of the time. Mm. And so they just derive something and figure out that works and then market it as, you know, a remedy for something, some other human condition just for how it has to be labeled as such. So who's to say what came first, ADHD and then Ritalin to cure that, or else if they just came up with a synthetic amphetamine and then came up with it's a remedy for being not full potential or not preventing your mind from wandering.
Yeah, you never really know the full story there. Want to roll a clip here. This is it's called Smart Drugs, what Silicon Valley's on. And they've kind of been one of the more visible participants in this over the last couple of years, specifically tech entrepreneurs. They competing to get innovation and ideas out there. And they're kind of pushing the envelope on this. So I'll go ahead and roll this clip. Work it, make it, do it, makes us older, better,
faster, stronger. Harder, better, faster, stronger. It's not just a Kanye West song. It's also an ethos in the tech world.
Vanaracetam, Siltep, phenylparacetam, methylcobalamin, xanthanin, GABAWAVE. I'll warn you, doesn't taste great, but it's worth it.
You take all of these, put them in your hand, and then you just take them. Is that safe to do?
It's totally safe to do that. I look back to my college days where we had beer bongs. It's exactly the same technique.
Exactly.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting analogy.
Yeah. Have some of the most expensive pee on the planet.
I know what you're thinking. This dude seems crazy. Honestly, I thought so too. His name is Dave Asprey. He's a CEO of Bulletproof. He's an entrepreneur. And he's also known for experimenting with drugs. The smart ones.
What I'm trying to do is age less quickly. But most importantly, I'm working on having the most energy and having a brain that works really, really well. Because when I weighed 300 pounds, I was having really bad problems with brain fog. And as an entrepreneur, that's a problem.
That combo he's downing, that's what's referred to as a stack, a collection of smart drugs, also called nootropics. They're aimed at enhancing your brain. They could be anything, from a stimulant like coffee to a prescription drug. Nootropics, smart drugs, whatever you choose to call them, users say they enhance your brain and subsequently your body's performance. They've become a thing in the tech world, in part because of the high level of competition, in part because of the long hours. But it all boils down to this way of life, called biohacking. This idea that we can control our own biology, and we can program it to maximize results. For Dave, maximizing results meant escaping, more than 800 miles north of San Francisco in British Columbia.
If you really want to have all the mental capabilities you can have, you need to have nature and forests and trees and views. If you're looking at a cubicle wall like this, your brain shuts down. When you look at a vista like this, it wakes you up.
The whole idea in Silicon Valley and San Francisco and with entrepreneurs is this idea of hacking the status quo, not taking things at face value. You're very much hacking yourself. Is this whole place in Canada, is this kind of your way of doing that?
Your body will respond to the environment it's in. And I love Silicon Valley. Like, there's an entrepreneurial energy there that's amazing. And I was at the company that created modern cloud computing, and I've seen so many amazing things. But when I look at the way my meat, my biology, the operating system of my body responds to the environment around me, I am more resilient. I thrive more when I have views like this.
Dave says smart drugs have saved his life, but it's hard to know how safe they are. People using these enhancers can suffer from side effects, headaches, insomnia, nausea, and many haven't been studied.
I've used every class of drug you can imagine. I've used the modafinils of the world, the racetams, hydrogene, different analogs of testosterone, growth hormone. The list goes on and on.
Tim's body is essentially a living lab. He also practices biohacking. Anything that can control or improve any part of his body, he'll try. There are no limits.
Here in Silicon Valley, you are your own athlete. You're only as good as your mind and how late you can stay up and how many lines of code you can pound out, how good your product is. Smart drugs are a way that entrepreneurs are helping achieve that marathon.
Let's just say you're a 24-year-old startup co-founder. We've just got a seed round of funding from a big venture capitalist, kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, holy shit, I'm in Silicon Valley. And you feel intense pressure to compete against the half a dozen other companies that are trying to do the same thing. Just like an Olympic athlete who's willing to do almost anything, even if it shortens their life by 5 years to get a gold medal, you're going to think about what pills and potions you can take, because the difference between completely failing, losing all your money, and going home with your tail between your legs, making $1 million and making $1 billion is right here. Like,
entrepreneurs have hacked traditional transportation. They've hacked the education system. Is the body really kind of the next pillar?
Absolutely, the body is the next pillar. And being able to just see the data is the first step, and now to use the data to tell you how to live your life better, given your genetics and your environment, and for me, what might be different, that's huge. And this is as big as the Homebrew Computer Club 30 years ago, where we started making PCs.
Let's look at 10, 15 years. If you do have some horrific side effects, will it have been worth it?
I've had some side effects. When I was developing the Bulletproof Diet, I tried an extreme form of ketosis, and it gave me some food allergies I didn't have before, and I'm still working to reverse those. So things happen, but I had food allergies before that, just to different foods. So it was a relatively small risk. If I do find out down the road that there are some side effects, will it have been worth it? Yes, it'll have been worth it. The quality of my life every day is so much higher now than it was 10 years ago that it's priceless.
It's kind of interesting how, I think you referenced this, the fact that this, you know, could be a big area of growth over the, you know, in the future, right? And kind of interesting how he compared it to the Home Computer Club, which is like a San Francisco club in the late 70s that Steve Jobs and Wozniak and Bill Gates were all part of, and they competed against each other, and it turned into a pretty big pretty big industry. Do you think that Kirk will look, you know, look back in a decade, and you know, there'll be, you know, a thriving smart drugs type of industry, and that, you know, Joe Rogan, people like that, are just kind of they're kind of early adapters in that area?
Yeah. Hang on a second. Is there any way you can fix the reverb?
Is it reverbing
pretty? Otherwise, bad? I'm gonna have to take some nootropics just to concentrate through this.
Okay, hold on a sec here. How are you doing? How's the reverb?
Still happening.
Probably the thing that we have to do is clear Skype. Let's see here. I will end the call.
Can make it through it. It's just I can ignore myself.
Okay. Yeah. Can you unplug your your earbuds and plug back in?
All right. Still happening.
Still happening. Okay.
Oh well. Yeah, I really think the future is. I mean, we're every year making leaps and bounds in the genetic engineering, brain mapping. So I think these combinations, they're fine tuning them and they're coming up with new ones. And I think it's a new big business out there, anyways, the supplemental industry. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a new venture into it. I mean, because essentially, what do you take supplements for? I mean, when we think of supplements, 5-10 years ago is all, you know, just the vitamins you don't get that your body needs, that we don't get in our food, certain other, you know, a lot of times they're just loaded with energy enhancers for caffeine, B vitamins.
Yep.
And then Red Bull took off, you know, all the energy drinks out there. So I think this is just the newest wave coming. So I do think that it will be. I mean, if I had a choice of a water and a gas station to go buy, mm-hmm. I'd probably buy one that supposedly makes me smarter, mm-hmm. has more energy, which all this stuff, you know, if it natural, but I personally would tend to shy away from the pharmaceutical side, but
right.
But I also think that we're also learning about is supplements really that good for us to take either, for how your body becomes to rely on them and potential side effects down the road from there. But
are you talking about vitamins or what type of supplements?
Yeah, I think even I can't recall the exact studies, but the more it's been happening, I've heard more. There's more negative effects by really taking mass supplements at times, uh-huh. for certain products, but certain vitamins, but I don't know. I'm pretty, you know, like things like vitamin C, I don't think is that terrible to ingest mass quantities, especially, you know, people's go-to cure for a lot of illnesses, but I don't know. I think it's really going to boil down to the ethics of the matter. And if you look into the movies like Gattaca and Limitless, are people just going to be shunned if they're not on these things or utilizing the greatest, you know, genetic engineering products or smart drugs? You know, are people going to start looking down on them? I mean, if I was a venture capitalist and saw people knew that they were taking nootropics and you knew someone that wasn't, who would it affect your decision? And who you would invest, you know, invest capital to?
Yeah. I don't think that really matters. I mean, it's just based on innovation and product. And that's kind of, I thought it was interesting, you know, in that clip, how the entrepreneur who the focus of it was, you know, he basically spent his inspirational time at a retreat. He's talking about how it's, you know, healthy to get out cue balls and things like that. And I think nootropics probably are going to be fine you know, and there'll be some, you know, significant innovation and, you know, things that Joe Rogan and Ray Kurzweil, he's a fellow at Google who's focusing on life extension, and he takes dozens of vitamins, different types of vitamins per day, because he wants to live long enough to see what he calls a singularity occur, which is the ability for biotechnology to indefinitely extend human life, and he believes it's going to happen within the next 50 years. And things like that, you know, are interesting, but I'm kind of a proponent of, and I think people will, you know, a lot of people who do this, myself included, if you exercise regularly and you get enough sleep, you have a relatively healthy diet, and you can supplement that with vitamins, but it's always best to ingest, you know, as much natural vitamin as you possibly can. I think stimulants, you know, as far as smart drugs, coffee and caffeine is a fantastic, you know, I'm biased. Some people think it's horrible, but I think it's a fantastic stimulant and can, you know, sharpen focus if, you know, used in a smart way. That, you know, doing that type of thing can yield more positive effects for a typical person than trying, you know, to a certain extent. To me, it feels like nootropics are a shortcut for some people. Like, you know, and they, you know, even when we're talking about Joe Rogan or this guy, you know, they use it, you know, they use somewhat of an excuse that, you know, in order to, you know, keep up with the, you know, your fellow innovators, you need to, bring smart drugs into the equation. But if you look, you know, in various areas, various fields, the people who do the best, you know, at their craft are the people that really like it, really focus on it, and they're not even necessarily the most intelligent, gifted people. They just focus, you know, and they go about that. So, you know, there's a part of me that's, I'm, you know, a natural skeptic on, you know, most things. But it, you know, the nootropics area, to me seems, you know, a lot of people utilize it as a shortcut. And the interesting thing for me is kind of the morphing of biotechnology and human biology, you know, augmenting, you know, brains with, you know, actual, you know, silicon or you know, computer horsepower, you know, which is somewhat taking place now. When, you know, you have a smartphone in your hand, you can access so much knowledge and that type of thing, more so than, you know, ingesting some of these chemicals, which kind of, they seem like they could be dangerous. And Kirk, you and I were talking about your, you know, some people might use that, kind of your thought is they might use that as an excuse not to use it, but, you know, kind of even the premise of Limitless is you use, and it's kind of an allegorical tale, you use the smart drugs at a cost. And what, you know, what is the cost of doing that?
Yeah, I feel exactly how you do about the people that, you know, they kind of shed success is from are generally people that are completely focused and driven in what they're doing. So I'm sure that these products will make you focus better and maybe ignore the distractions that are everywhere these days. More and more it's becoming so, it seems. And so I don't know. I like the direction of it going, but I'm not too worried about the side effects personally. I just am more of a natural person generally anyways, that I believe that you need to stretch your brain naturally. I mean, just because you're taking some so-called smart drug isn't going to do it for you. It's, you're still, it, it might it might spark that extra creativity in you or that energy to stretch your brain, and that that is what requires your brain to grow and for you to be smarter anyway. So you need to adapt and go beyond your means to really be able to hone in how the brain works is what I think. I mean, because science is always changing. Mm-hmm. What I always heard that the basic gray matter of your brain, they always thought was useless, but it ends up strengthening the neurons and all that stuff. I haven't researched it for a while, but mm-hmm. what I always heard.
But yeah, anyways, it sounds like you and I are kind of on the same wavelength as far, you know, you can talk about smart drugs or, you know, biohacking or whatever. But, you know, it just seems like it's there is a cost for that. And, you're referencing Gattaca or Limitless, and that was definitely, that was kind of emphasized in each of those movies that, you know, you do it to your detriment, basically. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, these people are, you know, they're pioneers, and who's to say in the future that they won't work through, you know, side effects or issues and, you know, be able to increase brain performance through, you know, various drug cocktails and that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, even if there are side effects, I really don't care. People can make up their own decision if it's worth it for them to do or not. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not see society try and dictate what people can and cannot do in those matters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because I think anything in life really has side effects. So it's who's to say what's right and wrong and for each individual out there. So it's easy to pinpoint while you're trying to cheat or get ahead and become better, you know, you might have side effects in the long term. Well, it goes back. It's from all the clips that I researched. It seems like everyone that takes nootropics mm-hmm. is all about them.
Yeah.
Most of the people are all completely sold on them. And people that don't are more skeptical just because of the long-term side effects and don't really see the need to do so.
So we're both I'm in that category and I haven't tried it. So that may, you know, could play a
factor. But I can think back in the past where I've bought supplements for stuff, and I don't take any supplements now, but it's – who knows? I would maybe try it at times. But the thing is – I like to sleep, and if it's going to keep me up at times, that's going to bug me.
Yeah,
so that would be the side effect that would be my most leery thing that would keep me away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you look down kind of the list, you know, a lot of them are stimulants. You know, amphetamines, methylphenidate, eutrics, xanthines, nicotine is even listed as a nootropic when mixed.
Caffeine, yeah, it's always on there.
Yeah, caffeine, vitamin B, et cetera. So they're all, you know, a lot of them are uppers.
So, I mean, yeah, if I was to take it, I'd definitely be taking in the morning, never at night. But But I just find it interesting because I had no idea Tim Ferriss was such a proponent of it. Mm-hmm. And so it was just fascinating to hear how many people in academia, too, are, you know, utilizing it, doctors. I mean, would you prefer your doctor to be more sharp, you know, or if it's supposed to, you know, so let's just talk about other people, you know, that you have to interact with. So would you prefer people to be on that if it helped make them better? Because most of the time, people generally think others are dipshits.
Right.
So it'd be like, yeah, you should be taking nootropics. And, you know, that's why I could bring up Gattaca, where it's all of a sudden that should be the norm, or, you know, putting in our water, like fluoride or something, because it's for a net benefit. Mm. And so something like that could definitely be down the pipe in the future, where all of a sudden the government is convinced that, oh, you know, we're going to have a smarter, you know, society by doing this, so let's put it in our water, or a city coming up with something like that. So
I think a lot of people, if there's no negative, I don't think it matters too much if you're, you know, in a whatever setting you're in, a professional environment. But I think there's always should be that skepticism that, you know, these people could pay a physiological price for that. And I think that should be the main concern, you know, with anyone.
Yeah, but I just think, to me personally, I think that goes into what people eat on a daily basis, processed foods, fast food. I mean, to me, that's all the same kind of effects that a lot of people that don't do it because they worry about long-term effects or, you know, the quality of food that they're intaking. So it really just boils down to personal choice and the ethics that way. But it just become a scary society that mandates something as such that – Mandy said this is supposed to make you better. Put in your water.
Yeah, I think I really believe that the majority of people who use that, who would look to nootropics, the first place they should look is diet and exercise. That's the first place. You know, shore that up, and you know, the majority of people would notice the most significant, you know, improvement and achievement and ability to do whatever tasks they're looking to improve that way. And once you have that taken care of, then, you know, and you still feel like you need maybe something extra. And I think in that clip, the tech entrepreneur, he done that, and he started off, you know, he was overweight. You know, he had, you know, some brain fog and that type of thing, and got that taken care of, and that pushed him up to a pretty high level, and he was looking for some type of advantage. And that's, you know, where it led to that experimentation. And I think a lot of people, I just dropped again. Hold on a sec.
I don't think I have any reverb though.
You don't have any reverb?
Nope.
Okay, that's something. So, you know, a lot of the nootropic advocates that I've seen, they take care of that, and they're still, you know, they're driven and they're focused on, you know, what can this do? And it's an exciting area for them. You know, they feel like they're, you know, pushing forward and discovering new ways to better themselves, or, you know, like in that clip, hacking, you know, biohacking, that type of thing. For, I'd say 99% of people, like the people that we look at in these nootropics clips or articles, they've got past all that stuff. But most people should get to that point before even looking at nootropics. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most people aren't. They're not there. They eat, have diets that could use improvement. Don't move around enough, and you know, they feel lethargic and unable to focus because of that reason alone, or those reasons alone. So how about I play another clip, Kirk? This is kind of more of a scientific, academic clip that kind of digs into people who are, pushing the nootropic process forward. I'll go ahead and roll this.
The human brain contains around 90 billion neurons. It's the most complex known object in the universe. So-called smart drugs exist to make it even more powerful. And one in five academics have used them, according to a Nature survey.
That's a lot.
If you look on the internet,
20%.
You'll find loads of examples of people who take smart drugs writing about their experiences. I've got some of them here. I went from a C average student to an A+. I wrote 2,000 words in an hour and a half. My senses are sharper. My work is much faster. Now, I'm always putting things off, dreading the big pieces of work that I have to do. If these drugs could help me out on that, I mean, I'm really tempted to try one. So-called smart drugs cover a variety of prescription medicines originally developed to treat a range of brain disorders. Neuropsychologist Mittal Mehta,
which is what we're talking about. It seems like, you know, the drugs have been developed for clinical disorders, and these people you know, a lot of cases that are kind of involved in the nootropic community are like, hey, it can help me do this task better, and it has nothing to do with, you know, a drug for ADHD, and they don't have ADHD or whatever ailment the drug was originally developed for.
Yeah.
Studies the different effects they have on the brain.
Well, if you think about cognitive enhancers, nootropics or psychostimulants, these are all terms that you might hear in relation to smart drugs, but they really refer to drugs that are designed to treat people with cognitive impairment, such as Alzheimer's disease, patients with schizophrenia, patients with attention deficit disorder, traumatic brain injury.
What are these drugs doing in the brains of people who actually are healthy?
It might enhance information flow in certain brain systems, stabilising neural activity. And this is one way we think the psychostimulants might work in the frontal lobes of the brain. Another way they might work is by enhancing the signal-to-noise ratio, so making the signals a bit clearer in the brain.
I didn't realise it, but the use of smart drugs is allegedly quite widespread in the world of academia. Anders Sandberg is a philosopher who studies smart drugs, often under their influence.
My main cognitive enhancer is, of course, caffeine, but I do use modafinil, which is a prescription drug originally intended for narcolepsy, but I'm using it for alertness and sharpening in my thinking.
What should people be wary of before taking something like that?
Cognitive enhancers, many of them are stimulants, and of course stimulants tend to raise your blood pressure and improve metabolism and exhaust you. But also you can think about memory enhancers. Well, they affect memory systems. You might learn a little bit too much. You can go a little bit obsessive. So there are always trade-offs. You need to figure out the right drug for the right task.
In sports, performance-enhancing drugs are banned, as we want athletes to compete au naturel.
It's the same with exams. Schools and universities want to test your natural ability. So in that context, taking any smart drugs, well, I mean, that's just cheating.
At Cambridge University, Barbara Sahakian...
Are you feeling you wanted to say something about that, Kirk?
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of... It's legal for professional athletes to take these nootropics. And a lot of people are, a lot of athletes are taking these, claiming that it helps them stay focused, you know, and improves their gameplay. So it just goes down to what's legal and what's not in the sports, you know, so it's not el natural.
Yeah, that's kind of...
So athletes will utilize anything to... be at their peak, generally.
Yeah, and that's, well, it's just the nexus of competition and money, right? And that's where you see any, you know, athlete or individual looking for an edge, and there's no more apparent area than, you know, in sports, high-paid sports. So you see that more than anywhere else. Continue here.
Is looking at the wider social issues surrounding smart drugs.
I've discussed it with student groups, and some of them feel they're being coerced into using them. They feel like they know that other students are using them to get an advantage.
So that's the Gattaca type of situation you're talking about, right?
Well, I think Gattaca was more on the genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. So, like, everyone, that was kind of pre... choice, more like your parents made the choice for you.
Sure.
But
outside of competitive cleverness...
Do you think that these drugs could help us to have a better and more productive society?
I mean, first of all, we obviously need to have the safety information, long-term safety information. But when you consider that we do have an aging population and people want to stay at work better, want to function in their own homes for longer and not go into institutionalized care, we may well find that this is very good. We may also find that people are making faster discoveries.
Yeah, and that's kind of went over what we talked about. The, you know, it's kind of the current state of nootropics is the fact that they're uppers, and that's probably something that I imagine will be addressed at some point, right? I mean, you need, or, you know, maybe that'll just be the reality of taking smart drugs, is that you're going to have to deal with, you know, any type of repercussions that, you know, come about because of the fact that you're ingesting stimulants.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, like you said about caffeine, like, yeah, it's my natural morning ritual is to have a cup of coffee. I don't know if it really heightens my senses or not anymore, but because it's just, that's just what my normal routine has become.
Sure.
But I don't know if I can tell a difference if I have it or not, but
I think there's a reason why, you know, in many workplaces, I mean, you could call that the original nootropic, why, you know, many workplaces just have coffee for free.
Yeah.
Coffee pots. I mean, yeah, you, what better stimulant to use than, you know, coffee? It's cheap. It's everywhere. High doses of caffeine. And, you know, it's really, coffee is, you know, some people say caffeine itself is bad for you, but coffee has been found to have, you know, been very good because it's chock full of antioxidants. Caffeine really hasn't, from what I've seen, hasn't had any, I mean, with the exception of maybe high blood pressure, is not something that'll kill you. You don't see a lot of people dying because of excessive coffee consumption. It just, you know, doesn't happen, so.
Main side effects, just jitters, shaking or something, but
yeah,
not a big deal, and everyone's used to it, so no one ever considers it, you know, a nootropic per se.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, well, that's caffeine.
That's there.
No, and so now that there's new synthetic or, you know, extraction methods and new, no, because caffeine is just from a bean anyway, so a roasted coffee bean. So who's to say that these other plant materials that are derived are really would have any other side effects too? I mean, I'm sure there are, you know, side effects from caffeine, but that's why I say a lot of these long-term side effects won't be as drastic as people fear them to be, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But it really goes into, you know, the state of the world that we live in today. I mean, how our education system's set up to where it's, you know, pretty much just strict memorization and taking tests well. Mm-hmm. So if you know, it's so I can definitely see a rise in of types of nootropics just because of that's, you know, if that's how it is. And you can become utilize certain supplements or drugs to if it helps you out to be better at these times. I mean, is that generally a benefit for society or not? I mean, that's I kind of think the education system's a dinosaur, you know, technology or method of educating people these days, but I think everything's going to change, so maybe this will help expedite a change. Who was it who just said that they wanted – I think it was Dayton, wasn't it? Mark Dayton for governor of Minnesota here. He wants to start testing kids less.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's – I don't know if that's the right method of, you know, educating either, but it's you know, who's to say that you know, it might start throwing into question, all right, all these students are getting A's, they're doing good on tests, but are they really smarter, or are they just, you know, utilizing a rapid, fast, quick method of memorization and not really understanding the material at hand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, sure, we could all make zombies out of everyone that's focused and, you know, alert. But if they're just regurgitating what they're supposed to be saying, is that really an advancement of society or of civilization. So it's, I don't know, a lot of these, this is an audio, obviously, but a lot of these clips, when you watch them about nootropics, they usually have someone that, most of the time, they all look pretty sketched out. I mean, they look like they've been up for days. They just look whacked out, don't you? Did you get that feeling from it?
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the nature of somebody who's attracted to
these individuals, or yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just more excitable. I mean, they're looking for an edge. It's going to, I mean, people are going to, and then not to like typecast them, but they're going to look physically, I think, the same way just because of their level of interest in that. So, you know, that's
be excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, so it's kind of nootropics is probably not a main, you know, these are more fringe individuals anyway. It's not too mainstream, right? You know,
I don't know. It's, I think, I mean, look at Tim Ferriss. He's worshipped by all millennial entrepreneurs out there right now.
And I guess when I mean fringe, I don't mean fringe in a bad way.
I mean, but just kind of under the outlier. Mainstream right there, yeah. Now. Or
yeah, but that's kind of what I mean. Not, well, you know, I think some people say when they hear fringe, it's like a bad connotation. That's
yeah.
Not what I mean.
Well, I just think that I think it's a growing trend, yeah. And I think I'm actually fairly surprised at how many peak performers that are out there that are actually on some form of nootropics. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot more prevalent than is let on. And I think it's just kind of not talked about specifically as much as a lot of people do.
And it, you know, to me, it seems like, and I mentioned this earlier, it's kind of, it's something that, you know, someone who doesn't have that natural ability needs to use or feels compelled to use versus someone who has it. They're not probably going to use it, right? So you see the absolute elite people in any field, you don't hear really about them using it, but you hear, you know, just below that elite tier, and they want to get there. They want to augment whatever they're doing with whatever they can, you know, whatever can help them get to that next level. Those are the people that are really, really interested in nootropics, it seems to me. Just a little bit. I mean, they just need something. They're just a little bit below. They need something to push them up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those might be the people that end up more talking about it fully.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think a lot of people that are actually at the top of their game are taking this kind of stuff that just don't talk about it then because they don't want it to reflect upon their people's opinions of them. But
so you might not, this will be the last clip I roll, agree with this one. This
is all right.
Good morning, Wash. I'm Carissa Lathan. Remember that Bradley Cooper movie, Limitless, where he took a special drug that made him super smart? 41-year-old biomedical engineer Jonathan Riley feels he takes a pill just like that.
I would get to work and I would be on fire.
Riley takes Nuvigil, a drug typically prescribed for those who have severe sleep disorders. Today reports it's often used as part of a new generation of brain enhancers called nootropics, or smart drugs.
It made me feel awake and alert, and I was able to see more possibilities. I was able to look at something and see more than just kind of my limited scope before.
Details Magazine profiled Riley as well and reports the drugs in this nootropics family include prescriptions like Nuvigil and Provigil, as well as some non-prescription supplements that stimulate brain receptors. Devotees say nootropics are a wholly different experience from energy drinks, as they give you a mental edge, increasing memory, intelligence, motivation, and concentration without the jitters or crashes that can come with stimulants. Discover Magazine says many people have reported getting the prescription easily by just complaining of frequent jet lag or excessive fatigue. But WFOR spoke with a sleep specialist, Dr. Ron Popper, who says Nuvigil and Provigil should only be prescribed for those who suffer from specific sleep disorders.
Their primary function is to wake you up, make you more alert and functional throughout the daytime. He says the drug should only be prescribed for adults with conditions such as narcolepsy, obstructive sleep apnea, and shift worker sleep disorder.
Fox News reports at one point Riley couldn't get a prescription for the drug, and he took a break for 4 months. He said he was anxious to get back on it, saying without it, he felt less productive.
I think I really enjoy who I am more when I'm on it.
The founder of the Control Center was featured on Today, and he said the drugs are not addictive, but can cause some serious side effects. One psychiatrist tells Fox News, in high enough doses, smart drugs may affect your temperature, heart rate, and blood pressure. New Vigil lists some of the common side effects of the drug include headache, nausea, dizziness, and trouble sleeping. Of course, most doctors warn against taking prescription medication for anything other than what the medicine is intended to treat.
Which is what New Vigil kind of faces, and that's what you're talking about, right?
Just the yeah.
Medical criticism.
Yeah, it's... Well, let me ask you. I mean, so yeah. Say you have your favorite idol or hero, you know, someone you look up to out there, and you knew you could take a drug to be at the same brain level as them. Is that what, you know, would you take it then? Or is it that the fact that it's just gives you the confidence then that you should be able to achieve or perform at the levels, you know, because you feel like, all right, now my brain's the same as Einstein's brain. I should be able to, you know, come up with something like theory of relativity or some equals MC squared, something of the sort to where, you know, you see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
That it really kind of just boils down to your own mindset.
Yep.
Of, you know, of what you're you know, if it helps people feel like they're going to be able to perform at a higher level and that they might have an edge on people, I think it's really, it comes down to personal choices and actions per, you know, taken.
Yeah. For me, to answer a question, at this point, from what I see, from what I've read and I've seen about the current crop of nootropics, I would most likely pass. But that's not to say, I mean, there are plenty of other things that have been in their infancy that I looked at that haven't been worth using and then later became worth using as they went through, you know, various refinements, improved. You can think of, you know, specifically areas, various technologies that come out. They're bug ridden, very expensive. Like, you know, I'm not going to buy a Tesla car now. Maybe in 10 years I will, when it's, you know, substantially cheaper, you know, mass production. I'm not going to buy, you know, a OLED 100-inch TV now, but maybe in 5 or 10 years when it, you know, when, you know, quality is substantially improved and it's a lot cheaper, I would think about that. And for nootropics, really to me, it's, you can sort of use that analog. It would need, you know, I would not be interested in taking anything that's going to be a detriment to my health. But there are people who would. I mean, even, you know, in the clips that we've seen who say, you know, it's worth it to me. Maybe, you know, it'll take a physical toll, but it means enough to me to be able to compete, you know, in whatever area to do that. And, you know, there are all kinds of, you know, there's some stigma and there are rules in, you know, different areas. Like if you want to talk about, you know, banned athletic or performance enhancing drugs, and, you know, athletes still do that and they know that, you know, there are ramifications at play. So, you know, it really, my answer to that question is it depends. And right now I feel like it's not there, but it certainly could be in the future. And to me, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna look at ways of augmenting your performance, like we talked about, the food and diet with, you know, maybe some supplemental herbs, to me, at this point, looks to be a better avenue than using, you know, kind of stimulant related drugs that, you know, have some side effects and may have other side effects that we don't completely know about. But, you know, in the future that could change. And if it does, then I'm on board. I mean, I think anyone, if you have a healthy, healthy option to, you know, augment whatever you want to do, that's seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I'm all for personal choice and responsibility, so I just don't want to see it mandated or shunned in the future that people are taking such things, because it goes back to even legalization of drugs that are illegal out there.
Yeah, and people should be allowed to make whatever choice they want.
Yeah, I think through legalization, it promotes that it sheds a light more on the harmful effects of such things. Mm-hmm. And so by things being, nootropics out there now, time will tell, but it's, I think ramifications would become self-evident fairly soon if there was anything major, and haven't seen anything like that, but.
I would really honestly be surprised not to see nootropics become more and more used as, you know, some of the, I mean, there's just, there are rough edges around it. I mean, there are side effects, but to me, I can't see, you know, why, you know, the profit potential is substantial. If pharmaceuticals or companies can come out with, you know, a set of drugs that you could take to become much more focused and intelligent, you know, why wouldn't you do that? You know,
because they can't make the drug though.
Right.
They'd have to label it as a remedy for something else, and then it'd be like, well, if you're not on this, you shouldn't take it.
But, I mean, if you could, and you could go through trials, and, you know, you have no negative side effects, why wouldn't you do that? And the profit potential is huge, wouldn't you
think?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think a lot of it's more falling in the supplement category. But, like me personally, I don't even drink Red Bull. I prefer never even have a Red Bull, so it's... Yeah. And that's a perfectly legal supplement drink out there, energy drink, and yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why you don't, I mean, the Pfizers or the Baxters or the big drug companies or even, you know, GNCs or Herbalife or companies like that, you don't really see them latch onto the smart drug idea or push products in that area. And my thought is because there's a reason for that. And there isn't a cure, you know, a quick cure all for that. So we're not at a point where nootropics have arrived and it's a great option. We're at a point where it's a niche area where you have a lot of, you know, where you have early adapters that are exploring, you know, different mixtures and compounds. And unfortunately, some of these people, I mean, very well could suffer some side effects from that. And some won't, but you have to think that some will, right?
Well, I think all pharmaceuticals, which is mainly, you know, changing a chemical structure in your body, mm-hmm. generally always has a side effect.
Yeah.
So that's where it's the risks, you know, are greater for a pharmaceutical drug.
Yeah.
But a natural plant derived, your body absorbs it, and how your body can react from it can be the long term side effect.
Yeah.
Versus changing the structure of your body and as a whole, I would say. But that's my amateur analysis.
Yeah, and so my, you know, kind of my observation is, it's a cool area, and there seems to be a lot of people that are, you know, dabbling. But from what I see, the best nootropic, if you want to call it that, that's out there right now, for me, would probably be coffee. And maybe, you know, maybe in, you know, 5 or 10 years, it'll be Adderall or some derivative of that, or, you know, an amphetamine or some derivative that, you know, is absolute, you know, smart drug nirvana. But not for me, not for now, but in the future, no, maybe. What do you think about that, Kirk?
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Just something out there for people to consider.
Yep.
Hopefully, because most of the people that were I've brought up this topic that we're going to have had no idea what a nootropic was. So.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, even talking it through, it's cool. It's always cool to see people trying to discover new things, and that's what these people are doing, right? And
yep.
That's the only way you get innovation. And you know, when you try new things, there are always things you have to work through. And you know, hopefully, nootropics or smart drugs are, you know, no different, and they'll, you know, be readily available and beneficial for all. But early days, interesting area. And I think with that, we can go ahead and wrap up. This has been Liberty Southwest podcast number 48. It's been Kirk Pettis and myself, Eric Taylor, this evening. Hope you guys have a good evening.
Peace out.
Adios, mofo.